It had all the makings of a blowout as the Heat were down 11 early in the first quarter, but somehow Miami found their shooting stroke and played suffocating defense to steal a win in Cleveland, gaining ground in the standings in their most tenacious win of the season. But with Kyle Lowry struggling once again and watching from the sidelines in the fourth quarter as Gabe Vincent and Victor Oladipo played instead, is it finally time for the Heat to move on? We break it all down in today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. David, you and I talk about quality wins a lot. I think as sports media, we talk about quality wins a lot in college football, for instance, as a way to measure teams, right? It's standings, it's records. Quality wins, though, to me, are a big deal, and not just in college football, but in basketball, too. Well, this was a quality win for the Heat, needing one to keep pace with the Cavs in the East standings, especially after that loss to Charlotte over the weekend. The Heat beat the Cavs 100-97 in Cleveland on Tuesday night. The Heat got two-way contributions from Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. They get a big game from Caleb Martin, but more importantly, finally had a hot night from three-point range, which helped them overcome an 11-point deficit and come away with the win. We're going to touch on all of those other things in a minute, David, but in terms of where this ranks among the best Heat wins of the season, I think this is their most quality win since beating the Celtics in Boston in that overtime game since early December.
Yeah, that feels about right. It was gritty. It was tough. It was really atypical, too. It wasn't, you know, their standard recipe. What we've talked about so much over the last couple of weeks and Miami finding their identity, having to grit out every sort of win. And while this certainly played to that same type of, you know, at least in the final box score, it wasn't the same style of game that Miami has come back in the past. Like, they had to come back from an 11-point deficit. They had to find their shooting. They weren't able to get Bam going. That pick and roll wasn't the same level of efficiency as we've seen over the course of the season. They had to get big contributions from players that normally would not contribute to this high level, either Gabe Vincent with his hot shooting or Caleb Martin in particular, who started off making his first four three-pointers. He was sensational tonight. And then Jimmy Butler and Bam both missing key free throws. It was a little unusual. Not, again, the same way that this Heat has managed to carve out victories this season and yet somehow able to hang, do a great job of limiting all-star Donovan Mitchell, especially in the fourth quarter, and doing just enough to eke out a win. Absolutely a must-win for them, and it was a great game as well. So kudos to them for finding a way to win despite their own struggles and the fact that they were able to get into that early deficit and still find a way to change their style in mid-game and find a different way to attack a towering defense in Cleveland.
Felt a little bit like last year, didn't it? We mentioned like Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and these guys stepping up. It felt like last season, like Gabe Vincent, 3 of 6 from three-point range. Caleb Martin overall went 4 of 5 from three-point range. Tyler Hero started making his shots later in the game. He went 3 of 6 from three-point range. Overall, the Miami Heat went 14 of 31 from three-point range. Those 14 three-pointers are the most that they've made, David, since December 30th. All right? Like that is unbelievable. That's the most they've made this entire year of 2023. That doesn't happen, it has not happened often for this Heat team this year, but three-point shooting was obviously key for them last year. I'm not ready to go ahead and say, like, oh, yeah, the Heat are back and the three-point shooting is finally ignited and it's nothing but smooth sailing from here, from beyond the arc. I'm not ready to say that. But, man, this had to happen eventually, didn't it? Like, it just felt like, but finally, these guys just start making threes. We'll see what happens Thursday at Madison Square Garden. I don't even care right now. It's just right now, it's just like, Jesus, finally, this can make some three-pointers.
Look, Cleveland, I have to say, it's not to take any bloom off the rose or anything like that, but Cleveland does give up three-pointers. You know, they have had some atypical shooting nights based on their defense, right? Their interior defense is sensational with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen in place there, but their guards do tend to give up a lot of shots. get a little misplaced on defense. They bite on pump fakes and things of that sort, part of which Miami was able to take advantage, particularly when they were able to get Bam going in that second quarter after shutting him out for the first quarter. So I think that was a big part of it, was Miami recognizing Cleveland's tendencies and saying, okay, this is what they're doing. This is how we can take control. I was texting Locked On Cavs host Chris Manning during the game, and we were talking about what a fun series this might be in the playoffs. And it's, you know, he said Cavs in six, I said Heat in seven. At the same time, I just think that we saw Miami show a level of maturity that the Cavs, for all their talent and all their superior record at this point in time, I still think they lack a certain experience factor and an ability to make adjustments to the same level that Miami can with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, even Kyle Lowry, et cetera.
Miami went down by as much as 11 because they couldn't make a shot. Bam Adebayo didn't score a point until the second quarter. But then the three-point shooting came around. Bam started making baskets in the second quarter, and then the Heat just took off from there. Another big part of it, besides the offense, was their switch to the zone defense. Oof. They started out the game with Jimmy Butler on Donovan Mitchell, which I thought was a good look and not abnormal for Jimmy. He will pick up all-star guards like that from the tip this year. But that switch to the zone, it just felt like Cleveland had never seen a zone defense before. Like, they had no idea how to attack it. Specifically, as smart of a player as Darius Garland is, and as talented and smart of a player as Donovan Mitchell is, the fact that they just didn't try to attack that zone at all. And give credit to the Miami Heat too, but it really did feel like the Cavs would be like, wait, what is this? They're two over here and three back there. And how do we do it? Like, it just literally felt like they've never seen a zone defense before.
The only time it felt like they were attacking, I put this in quotes, is when they recognized Evan Mobley was wide open from the restricted area. And they were like, oh, let's get him the ball. Right. Otherwise, it was just a matter of like putting up as many uncontested threes or even contested threes as possible and just saying, oh, let's shoot our way out of it. That's like, not the recipe.
Man. Like, and Jamie Bickerstaff's been around for a minute, man. Like,
he was asked about it. I saw a tweet from Spencer Davies of basketballnews.com. Like, he had specifically asked JB Bickerstaff, how do you account for Miami zone? He's like, they play it a lot more
zone.
We don't do it. We don't do anything differently. We'll just have to find our way in. It's like, well, okay, but you kind of didn't.
So do something differently. Whatever you just did didn't work. But no, it is a quality win again because Cleveland, like, they've had good wins against Boston recently, for example. That was a quality win. But the Celtics were without four of their top six rotation guys too, and they've beaten the Lakers with LeBron, but it's the Lakers. They beat the Warriors earlier in the year, but it turns out that the Warriors can't win games on the road, so that doesn't look as good as it did earlier in the season. They beat the Clippers a couple times, but the Clippers were never fully healthy because they're never fully healthy, so I don't know how much they got the win against Utah in Utah on New Year's Eve. That was a quality win. The Jazz are good, but they're not like the Cavaliers are really good. Like, besides them not knowing how to attack a zone defense, like, this is a really good team, and they've looked like Eastern Conference contenders at parts of this season. So, and they're fully healthy in this one. And the fact that
Kevin Love tonight, he might have been the difference for the 3-point shooting aspect, but no Kevin Love out there.
Oh, no Kevin Love. Yeah. All right. Fully healthy outside of Kevin Love. But
they were 21-4 at home prior to tonight, too. Like, to your point, like, they win at home and they know how to beat teams there. And they just looked completely flummoxed after that first quarter. I thought they were going to run away with this game completely. But Miami, to their credit, found a way to turn things around pretty consistently.
Caleb Martin was a big factor as anybody in this win. Will this be the first time Caleb Martin leads the team in credit cookies? Find out next. But first, David, tell the listeners about our sponsor.
Well, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America. That's right. It's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockdown to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Locked On Heat is also available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so please do subscribe over there. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. It's a Heat win, which means it's time to get in the kitchen, whip up some credit cookies. David, what kind of cookies are we handing out tonight?
Well, apparently this is a Cleveland staple from a place called the Cleveland Cupcake Company, and not known for their, they're known for their cookies, although you wouldn't think so based on the name. Bacon chocolate chip cookies based out of Cleveland. I don't know if that's a staple in the mistake
bacon
by the
chocolate
lake.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Bacon chocolate chip cookie. I like this game itself, kind of gives you a heart attack every time you have it. So I could see why it's appropriate tonight. A little salty, a little sweet, a little atypical. Doing things differently, it's perfect.
Sweet and savory, I like it. Cleveland, I kind of like Cleveland as a city.
I know you do.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Is it a good food town?
No, I don't know that it is. But I'm a big statue guy. And I like that there's I don't know what any of them are or what they're for. I don't know the historical significance. I know that like Boston and Philadelphia were big deals to America. I know I'm really sure what Cleveland was, but I just like that they put them up. And so it just feels like, you know, whatever.
These are historical statues that you go see around Cleveland?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like going on tours or anything, but I'll like walk around on my way to a bar to get a beer and there'll be a statue.
And you were you were passing the same statue back and forth as you were drinking that night. That's what that was. It's like a statue town. No, it's not. Dude, it's the same statue. You were just walking all over the place. You have no idea what you're talking
statues
about.
Statues on this block. I don't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah, no. Savannah, unheralded statue town, by the way, where there's cemeteries and they're
there.
Yeah, okay. Great city.
Love Savannah. Spent New Year's Eve in Savannah.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of statues there too. Forrest Gump.
Maybe.
All right. Credit cookies. We're doing the bacon chocolate ones from Cleveland and from Cleveland's Bake Cake Shop. Whatever.
Sure.
All right. Let's start with Caleb Martin. 18 points, 10 rebounds. You mentioned earlier, 4 of 4 from 3-point range to start the game. Ends up going 4 of 5. Defensively, he was big we talked about Miami's 2-3 zone. Caleb Martin at the point of attack there at the top of that zone. He was huge, contesting every shot that Cleveland tried to take there. I just thought it was a phenomenal game from Caleb Martin. He looked energetic. He looked spry. Two-way game from him. And he does that a lot of nights, but he doesn't always get the double-double in the box score. He got that tonight. There's a case to be made that he should lead the team in credit cookies.
Yeah, I could see that. His points, particularly it was in the second quarter, maybe it was in even the third, like they would just felt like there was an extra weight with every one of those 3-point shots because Cleveland's defense was doing just enough and Miami couldn't find their rhythm offensively. And so a lot of time in late clock situations, the ball would wind up in Caleb's hand and he was just letting it fly. But they were falling, and that was exactly what Miami needed to kind of give him a little boost, kind of give him a little bit more confidence and say, you know what, we can do this. We can find a way to storm back and at least hang tight with his team until we pull off another miracle in the fourth quarter, as they so often have. And I think on a lot of nights that shot doesn't fall, but tonight a fully rested, fully healed Caleb Martin, a very impactful player. I don't know that I'm ready, as I mentioned to you before we started recording, I don't know that I'm ready to crown him the top cookie getter for tonight's performance, just because so many other players stepped up at various times. It didn't feel like in past wins, we've had a player that really stood out and dominated as far as like being the most impactful. I don't think that was the case tonight. I think you can make a strong case for 5 players contributing in equal amounts and contributing to impactful moments throughout the game.
I think I know the 5 that you're thinking. It's Caleb, obviously, is one of them. Jimmy Butler, who had 23 points, 10 of 15 from the free throw line. Did miss one late that kind of, you know, gave you pause a little bit. Misses one at the line to turn what could have been. He were up 2. He gets to the line to take 2 free throws. Could have been a 4-point game with 7 seconds left. Game over. No worries about it. Splits the free throws. Makes the second one. Cleveland gets the inbound. Donovan Mitchell gets a pretty good look.
I thought that was falling.
I thought it was falling for sure. It looked good. And the way that the broadcast
the camera angle,
right
yeah.
behind Donovan Mitchell, and you just look at the arc of that ball, I'm like, that's going in, that's going in.
It
turns left a little bit and then bounces off the front of the rim. And man, you mentioned a heart attack earlier. That I think that was the moment where you're just like, really? Is this going to be like this?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I wound up falling just short, as you mentioned, but from the angle of the broadcast, I thought it was in line. I thought it was overtime. They have all the momentum, and that's it. Another tough loss for Miami. Instead, they were able to do just enough. So, yeah, you mentioned the three other starters. Tyler had big moments, especially late in the game, knocking down a couple of three-pointers, just finding his rhythm offensively. And then Gabe Vincent stepping up off the bench, hitting a couple threes, playing some really good defense. I thought he was really impactful, even in the fourth quarter defensively, like with Kyle Lowry sitting once again on the bench in the fourth. Gabe was out there and holding his own, coming around screens, fighting his way past the Cleveland big men to contest Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell, coming up with a couple of turnovers or forcing bad passes, just doing a lot of good things. And then getting called for a really questionable defensive foul late in the game. Then Eric Spoelstra took him out, put Victor Oladipo back in there. And I was like, that was a head scratcher. I thought Gabe was so impactful. They put Depot in there, immediately give up a three, turn the ball over on the other possession, and then wind up giving up another shot late in the game also. And then Oladipo gets taken out for Gabe Vincent, which was the right move all along. I'm not sure if just Spo was trying to give him a blow or something, but either way.
Gabe had five. That was his fifth foul. And maybe it was just trying to – it was just, but
saving him.
It was that late in the game. Maybe you just let him play through it. I don't know, but that was a good call out by you. So, and then Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo's 18 points and 11 rebounds. So double double for him. Massive in the fourth quarter. 6 points in the fourth quarter. 6 rebounds in the fourth quarter. The biggest rebound of the game. Boxing out Jared Allen and going up with one hand to grab a huge offensive rebound that led to this Jimmy Butler free throws. I believe that was a sequence. And
he also tip one out too to save it when it was a late shot clock possession there, and he wound up the shot I think from Hero caromed off, and he winds up tipping it skying past. He timed it so perfectly. This was just a quintessential Bam. Like, he's not as big as Jared Allen or Mobley by any stretch, but he's so athletic, and his timing, his high basketball IQ, maximizing everything, and he was just timing it perfectly.
And his effort, I tweeted this, he's third in the NBA in box outs. He's a star. He's going to be on the All-Star team. All-Stars don't usually box out. They usually make the role players box out. Bam Adebayo is third in the league in box outs, and he does that because he knows, like you said, he's not as big as Jared Allen. He's not as big as Evan Mobley. So if he's going to get these rebounds, and he's the biggest guy on the court for the Heat, then he needs to put his butt into guys and box people out in order to get better position, and that's what he does. And then that puts him in position to use that athleticism and go up and get those balls. So
I'd phrase that a little differently, but I agree with you.
So how do you want to do it? Because we've got five different players. Do you want to just go across the board two each? Does one of them get one, which gives Caleb three?
No. I feel like this is all about the goodwill, egalitarian win here. Everybody contributed, finding a way. Well, at most everybody, 4 out of 5 starters ain't too bad. You don't get the same kind of contributions off the bench. Nobody really stepped up. Although I think Orlando Robinson wasn't bad necessarily. He also wasn't he didn't stand out in a really positive way. Victor Oladipo had some moments, but he also got victimized defensively, and that shot still isn't there either. Max Strus was a zero factor out there, unfortunately, yet again. So I think 4 out of 5 starters plus Gabe Vincent getting 2 cookies apiece feels
right. Like coming up, Bam Adebayo said he wouldn't force management to trade for a friend as the Heat build around him, but he would lend a hand in recruiting in the right situation. We'll tell you what that situation is next. But first, David, tell the listeners about our next sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Tonight, I'm taking Luka Doncic to score more than 26.5 points. LeBron James to have more than 7.5 rebounds. Look at that Luka line. That's a no-brainer, considering he's just popping up 50-point games, and they don't have much of a roster built around him, forcing his way to Miami yet again. I can't believe it. It's going to happen. So what do you love most about the game's format of Prize Picks? It's easy to use. That's the whole thing. It's so easy to make an entry, 60 seconds or less, doesn't take any time at all. And the best thing about it is just you versus the projected numbers. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. It's no competing against other people, just you versus those projections. And they offer projections of any sport that you watch, and I mean any sport. The NBA, of course, the NFL, men's and women's college basketball, soccer, Euro basketball, disc golf, boxing, you name it, they've got it. And again, entries can be made quickly, safe, and fast withdrawals, and currently operational in over 30 states in Canada. So download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with a promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. So don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Make sure you use that promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100 today. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com today.
Reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram, email us, lockedonheat@gmail.com. 46% of everybody polled said that Caleb Martin deserved the most credit cookies tonight. So, second place.
Maybe I blew it there. If I screwed that.
That's just the Twitter poll, man. You're entitled to your opinion. You're the one that gets paid the big bucks for your opinion. So, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, right. Speaking of getting paid the big bucks, like, I know we want to talk about the BAM quote from Ira Winterman today. But at the same time, I feel like we kind of should address the Kyle Lowry situation. I know that we talked about in a recent episode, some fine reporting from Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald, asking Kyle about sitting out fourth quarters. He's sit him out. He's been sitting out all of them. I think watching his game had an impactful fourth quarter as Victor played minutes there, and he did not. Look, he had a little stretch there in the third quarter where he was solid. I thought in the first quarter, even as Miami was getting beat badly, like, you saw the impact he can make. And I know a lot of people are already rolling their eyes. I can picture it as I say anything positive about Kyle Lowry. But I think the ability to switch defensively is so much easier with Kyle. When you're going up against big men like Allen or Mobley, he's not giving up any ground to them in post-ups. He's actually a really, really good post-up defender. And that's something to take into consideration. But is it a problem? Can Miami continue to have him on the roster if they're not going to play him in fourth quarter situations?
I don't know what the alternative is. Look, if he's not going to finish games for you, I made this point earlier. Kyle Lowry, when he was acquired by the Miami Heat, he was in Sharpie, part of the closing lineup. He was of that level, future Hall of Famer. It's him. Yeah. It's Jimmy Butler. It's Bam Adebayo. Those are the guys every single night that you're closing with. And PJ Tucker was part of that too when he was part of the Heat.
Sure.
And that was it. And that's the level that Kyle Lowry was at in that locker room, on that bench, on that roster. He is no longer at that level. And whatever that means, you can run with that however you want, listener. But these are the facts. He's not in Sharpie parting that closing lineup. Tyler Hero, meanwhile, is. And that was not the case last year. And Tyler Hero, every single night, even if he's not shooting well, is going to be in there to close games because of his shot making and abilities and shot creating abilities. And so, look, I don't know that, to answer your question, can you afford to keep him on the roster? I think ideally you would use that $28 million and put it elsewhere with a player who's being more of a contributor. But the Heat are not, and the NBA is not an ideal world. Like, there's a lot of there's a lot of big contracts, and some of those players don't necessarily live up to them. And the Heat have a few of those, unfortunately, on their roster. And so I do think that the Heat are listening to Kyle Lowry trades.
Well, let me ask a different question then, because we were sitting in the Magic game recently, and he was asked about that post game about Kyle. I think it was by Ira Winterman asking him, you know, is this the norm? Is there anything to look into? And Spo downplayed it completely. Saying, no, it's not, no read into it. You know, just coming back from injury, just felt like going with a different rotation or going with different players who might have been more productive. But this is already three games in a row. I don't think it's a fluke anymore. Do you buy Spo's answer, or do you think he's just changed? No, I don't either. I
don't think that it's some huge indictment on Kyle Lowry. And this is what I said before. Like, it's meaningful. It is meaningful. It doesn't mean it has to be that Kyle Lowry stinks and isn't a good NBA player that, like, Twitter might want you to believe sometimes, but it means something. And to what degree that something is, I guess we'll find out. But also worth noting, the Lakers beat the Knicks tonight in overtime. So the Heat, not only did they pull within a game and a half of Cleveland with this win, but they keep that cushion over the Knicks. And now because of the Knicks' loss, they're two games up on New York for this sixth seed. Two games ahead of the Knicks, who are right now the seventh seed. Of course, Miami plays the Knicks on Thursday at Madison Square Garden. That game becomes a little bit less precarious now that you have this cushion, but it's still a big game nonetheless. Let's go to this email from Billy from Cleveland, longtime listener, writes in. Got to see my only live Heat game of the year. My thoughts. Kyle Lowry felt like a non-factor all game and looks uncomfortable as the fifth option. Miami led large portions of the game after the first, but it always felt like the Cavs had control of the pace. Cavs fans think Jimmy Butler is the son of Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. We already mentioned the Lowry stuff there, but in terms of Jimmy Butler being the son of Michael Jordan, Jimmy Butler is interesting, man. He's a very popular NBA player, and there are some fan bases that adore Jimmy Butler, and there's like three fan bases that really don't like Jimmy Butler.
Let me guess. Chicago, Minnesota, and Philadelphia? Yeah, because even Boston fans like speak reverentially of him. They are more terrified of Jimmy Butler than Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, and Nikola Jokic combined. Like they are terrified of Jimmy Butler because they've seen what he can do. Like
terrified out of respect.
Yeah, and he's earned it. And look, from the Cleveland perspective, like he was able to, if not necessarily hold his own, he always had great one-on-one battles when he was in Chicago, when those Bulls teams weren't particularly good against LeBron James and those Cavs teams. So I think that's where that Cavs-based respect comes from. It's been well-earned, and I mean, we know that Jimmy's a gamer, and he had a pretty solid night tonight as well.
Respected by most Boston fans, I should say. Not John Corrales, who thought he was the third best player in the
Eastern
Finals last year. Nothing is the answer. When asked if he would be an active recruiter as the Heat seek to land another star, Bam Adebayo told Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel that, quote, "It depends for the greater good of the team. If we needed this one guy, I'd reach my hand out," end quote. Though he adds, he would not try to force management to acquire a friend of his, quote, "just so that we could play together," end quote. He says that winning is the most important thing to him. David, what did you make of Bam's stance on recruiting?
I think it was just fine. In fact, you and I were talking about it as the quote made its rounds and a lot of people reacting negatively to it. And you and I were talking about it and saying, I don't understand why the negative reaction. Like, I feel like this is the most selfless thing that a player could say, that I'm not interested in just recruiting a friend. I'm going to recruit a friend who wants to come here and win. Then that's the most important thing to me. At least that's how I read it. That if Donovan Mitchell or anybody else wants to come here and they want to commit to Heat culture and winning, and that's the most important thing, then yeah, I'll talk to them about coming over here. But I didn't read anything into it and like, oh, I don't care. Or some people even taking an extra step and saying he wants out, he's frustrated with Jimmy Butler, et cetera. I don't even think there was a knock on Jimmy about bringing in a friend and Kyle Lowry. Like when they brought in Kyle, the friendship notwithstanding, Kyle wanted to win. Kyle was a missing piece. Kyle was a really coveted free agent. And we kind of all have forgotten this a year and a half later.
Exactly.
He was supposed to come here specifically to help Miami win a championship, to help Jimmy win a championship. That was the goal from everybody, including Kyle and Jimmy Butler.
And they got within a shot of making the finals. So it wasn't the best postseason for him, but the Heat had a great year. They were the number one seed last year. And I think that Kyle Lowry was a big part of that. I am so confused by the internet generally. I tweeted the quote out because I thought it was interesting, because I like you thought, hey, this is a great stance for Bam Adebayo to have. He's a young player at the NBA. If he wanted he's the centerpiece of everything the Miami Heat are building towards. And if he wanted to throw his weight around, he could. He's been anointed the baton carrier of Heat culture by Udonis Haslem. He has the weight around. If he were to speak to the front office, it wouldn't matter. And for him to say, you know what? To me, it wasn't even the fact that I'm trying to get my friends to play with me. I love the fact that he's not actively out there trying to recruit people because he'd rather work on his game and do all these other things. He doesn't want to be distracted by that stuff. But also, if Pat Riley, for instance, were to come down and let's say Jason Tatum was a free agent this summer. He's not, but let's just hypothetically. And it was like, hey, Tatum's going to sign with Boston. The Lakers are us. Like, can you put in a good word with Tatum? Bam would be like, yeah, I'll do that. Right. That's basically what he's saying from these quotes. But he's also not going to go out and try to get Jason Tatum to force a trade away from Boston, where it's obviously a good situation for him, just because he wants to play with his friend, right? Like, and so I think Bam is exactly where you want players to be, right? Who are stars, who have that influence within their organization, but they're not trying to be the general manager. And I think, and there is trust by Bam that I think he trusts the front office to make those right moves, but also understands that he's approaching a point in the NBA now where he could be useful. And he's saying that. He's saying, hey, if the front office needs me, I'm here. But I'm also not going to try to do Pat Riley's job for him. I'm not going to try to do Andy Ellisberg or Adam Simon's job for them. And I love that. This to me was by no means shade to Jimmy Butler or Kyle Lowry or anybody else on the roster or the front office. I am so confused. I was so surprised when I tweeted out that quote and it was just like, wow, shade on. I am so generally confused by the internet. I just don't understand it.
Wait till you get to be my age. You're even more confused by it then. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, and I talked to you also about this. Like, I remember asking Bam in his first All-Star appearance in 2019 in Chicago and asking him, oh, you know, is it right? Is it true about, you know, how everybody kind of talks and recruiting and things like that. And he kind of played it off. Same answer. Like, he's been consistent on this. And like, in 3 years later, he is by far, I think, the most popular guy. Jimmy's really popular, but Jimmy does his own thing now. He's a little older. Bam, with this new generation of players, like, he has so many friends across the league, from De'Aaron Fox to Tatum to Mitchell and on and on. There just seems like there's one player or another that he's really close to all across the league.
Yeah.
And it's fine. This isn't surly ass Derrick Rose refusing to meet Carmelo Anthony because that's not his job. He's absolutely, like, if they had, into your theoretical situation here with Jason Tatum, if they were going to have a meeting, he would sit in on it, you know, the same way.
And by the way,
the Golden State Warriors went out to the Hamptons to recruit Kevin Durant. He would absolutely sit in on this meeting.
He's at that point now where that matters. And all his friends, they're not free agents now. They're not free agents next year. They're not really free agents the year after that. But 4 or 5 years down the line, just like LeBron and D Wade, like, it took them until they were 27, 28 years old to really be able to, you know, you come off of that first rookie extension, you enter unrestricted free agency. For really the first time in your career, I appreciate the recruiting questions now, but it's not going to be an issue until 4 or 5 years from now. But if Bam keeps on this trajectory, that stuff can matter in a few years after Jimmy Butler kind of phases out and the Heat enters sort of the Bam Adebayo / I guess Tyler Hero kind of real timeline when Jimmy Butler is not a factor of that anymore.
Yeah, look, when championships matter more than establishing your own legacy in the early stages, look, Bam's already enjoyed a lot of success. Tatum's already enjoyed a lot of success, but none of it has resulted in the ultimate success, which is to win an NBA championship. So a few years down the road, that's when those more heavy recruiting sessions, it was year seven, like, Dwayne had won one. LeBron had gone to the finals. Chris had barely tasted playoff success in Toronto, but it took the 2008 Olympics for them to get on the same page and go, you know what, let's map out our future so that it kind of aligns and we'll figure it out from there. I think we'll start to see more of that groundwork being laid over the next couple of years, especially if it could result in a title in Miami, a proven franchise that has shown the ability to build a contender consistently.
You got a prediction for who the Heat signed 5 years from now?
Everyone. Everyone they want.
Making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Maybe that's a tease for a podcast 5 years from now. People will be like, where's that podcast?
Subscribe now so you can get all the latest news 5 years from now.
Game to game NBA, every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. David, thanks for joining me.
I'm going to go look for some statues outside, see if I find any.
There we go. Oh, Jake Fisher, Yahoo NBA insider, joins us tomorrow with the latest on Miami trade rumors. So stay tuned for that.
Absolutely.